Have you ever thought sometimes how you can actually make those commitments in church today to say what you will do with the Lord? I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. It starts out, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. So the idea of that, what I can do today, is because of Christ in and through and with me. Now today, that's an Old Testament psalm, and we actually have something even more special today as Christians. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives in us and around us and through us each day. That's an amazing thing to think about. And I thought about this week, and as I was reading scripture, and we're at the beach, and y'all know we went to vacation, as it's called, and we went to the beach. Those two usually don't go together in Smith language, but we went to the beach. The grandkids were there. It was a good time to get together with family, but it stormed, and the storms were awesome at the beach. It was a good time to be together. But I was thinking as we were looking at the waves, I was under the tent. That's why I leave here white, and I come back as white as I possibly can. If you know what that means, I stay under the tent, I stay under the house, the shade, the beach house. The sun is not my friend, especially the more I lose hair, that wears the old bald spot out up there. Any amens out there, gentlemen? Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. But as I was watching the waves under the tent, just watching the waves pound the surf, and it was stormy seas. It was cool riding waves sometimes as we were in the waves, being tossed about out there. It was a lot of fun. And if y'all have never been, how many of you guys have ever been to Edisto Beach? So if you come in about 1 through 5, if you go swimming at 1 to 5, I didn't know this. We didn't go as kids. I went with Wendy, my wife's family, and I'm swimming, and we went to Daytona Beach. We had opportunity to ride the waves at Daytona Beach and come in, and so I thought every ocean was equal, and put in number 2. If you ride the waves, you body surf in, you're going to get this word. We created this word called Edistode. You know what that means? The embankment of it's a barrier island, and the embankment hits down in the first few entrances to the public access is actually almost a 45-degree embankment. So when you're body surfing, you actually hit that with your head. And I thought I almost broke my neck when I was a teenager because I was body surfing, thinking I'm going to come all the way up on the surf, but I end up crashing pretty hard. So my granddaughter, I didn't know this, Emmy, she got Edistode a couple of years ago and rolled. You get up with shells and sand. You're tormented. You're disoriented. You don't know where you are. And so Kenzie and Chris brought boogie boards, and she wouldn't touch one. I couldn't figure out why. We found out it was a psychological event that she couldn't get on one because she didn't want to get Edistode again this year. So it was kind of funny. We tried to force her on it. We tried to keep her there as long as we could, but she would bail at the last minute. She didn't trust the ocean. And so today we're thinking about how the ocean, we looked up when's high tide, when's low tide. We were trying to think of the best thing, but it was the ocean. The ocean was the ocean. Do you know who was in charge of every single wave that came in at Edistode or any other beach? It was the Lord. And I started thinking, what if God really was God, if the capital L-O-R-D was really the capital L-O-R-D, who he says he is? What if he really was who he says he is? What if he really does what he says he can do? And what if I really believed it? How would that change my living? How would that change how I act toward others? How would that change toward how I give credit to this or take away from this? How things I stay away from this and don't do that? How would it change my life? And I want to put that before you today. If God is God, and we say he is, we would say, Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. We say amen to that if you're a Christian today. But is he really? Because you can get a look back over the weekend, I could think, man, last week I could have done more Bible study. I've spent more time in prayer. Spent time in prayer was really sweet, but I could have done more, not because of works-based, but because wanting to have that love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves to hear our voice. Did you know that? He knows your name. The Bible even says, children, he knows how many hairs are on your head. Easy counting for some of us, right? But he knows how many number of hair are on your head. He knows your thoughts from afar. He knows when you sit down, when you lie down. The Bible says he knows everything about us. He wants an intimate love relationship with you and me today, if we would simply give our hearts, our lives fully to him. So as we read this, the summer title is simple, a call to worship, and I called it the rock song. The call to worship, the rock song. And it's a rock song because you'll see, David loved rock songs. Did you know that? Because he would sing, we read a couple weeks, he sang to my rock, right? When he was in the slimy pit, He pulled his feet out of the slimy pit, mud, and put him upon the rock. And here today, he goes back to that same verse. Let's look at Psalm 95. Your translation, I'm reading out the New King James Bible today, and yours might say a little bit different, but there's an invitation in verse 1, and there's an invitation in verse 6. So let's read together. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence, how? With thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the highest name of God, is the great God. And the great king above all gods, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also his. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, there's the invitation. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker, our creator, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years, I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Let's pray together. Father God, as we read this Old Testament passage of Scripture, potentially 3,000 years old. Lord, there's application for us today, right here, right now. There's a today. Father, may we hear and may we submit ourselves to the Word of God, to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Let us hear your voice as you have clearly spoken through King David, through the psalmist, that we would actually hear what you want us to know today as we walk out of this place. We came in this place one way. Lord, may we leave under the unction of the Holy Spirit, leave in a way that's refreshed, renewed, wanting to walk a fresh step with you. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I know today is Father's Day, and happy Father's Day. We'll talk to you in just a minute at the end of service. But I want you to see, actually, as we come to today, that's a celebratory time. Today is the Lord's Day, capital L-O-R-D, the Master, our Father. So when we read this passage of Scripture, we think, well, if God would just simply speak to me, I would be happy. Our If God would speak with me, I would just enjoy it more, or I just need to hear from God. Did you hear what we actually just read? Let me read it again as it starts. Oh, come, let us sing to who? The Lord. Who inspired, because we read last week in Hebrews, who inspired David to write those very words? The Holy Spirit, the Lord, inspired David to actually say to the people through all generations, you're invited to come sing to the Lord. Now, when we were singing, listen, when looking around, I don't know if you were looking at me or if anybody's looking at me, because I know I'm a target sometimes, but the sound guys, I usually leave the sound off because I don't want them to hear me sing or accidentally turn me on when the praise team's singing, because somebody would want to know what accident happened in the sound booth. But one Sunday I did leave it on when I was singing and talking. Mr. Bernard, I talked with him directly to his ears. And I went to him after church and said, I'm sorry, I left the Bluetooth on when I was singing. He goes, I forgive you. That's how bad it was. I'm not a good singer, not that great a preacher, but listen, I love singing to the Lord. I love making joyful noises. Even the shouting portion of the Scripture, I like going to some of my Pentecostal friends' churches because they get a little louder and they get a little louder. Not, some of it's made up, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, but some of it is authentic and the Holy Spirit sets in, right? That shouting is something you can do to the Lord. Well, look at this. This is important for us as we go and look at this passage of Scripture. You have the notes, and then we're going to bounce back and forth in Scripture because it's Scripture to go along with Scripture. I think there's 5 or 6 studies of Hebrew we got to go back and look at. We probably won't get to all of them today. And this whole series is a study of Hebrews, and someone in my class will remain unnamed today said, I'm loving this study in Hebrews. We hadn't got there. I teach the young college and career, so you can imagine. They know who they are. They're making me smile. Here's what I put in your notes for you to see this. Having a biblical theology of worship is essential to living the Christian life. Would you agree? Yes or no? This theology is grounded in the overarching narrative of Scripture, which reveals God's desire for his people to worship and adore him. Worship is not about how I feel toward him. It's actually how I speak to him and how I turn my, even in the days that you feel terrible and you think God's mad at you, can you say the words actually back to God? Can you sing words back to God if you think God's not in your, you're not in favor with God? Can you sing to him? You can. You ever been spanked by your parents and you think they don't love you, but you have a need because supper time's coming and do you go eat at the table? Some of you were never spanked. That's part of your problem. Some of you were, right? Yeah, even if you're disciplined, you think your mom's angry with you, your dad's angry with you, supper time's still coming, or breakfast. It depends on what time of the day it is, right? You think they don't love you, no one cares about me, and then there's food on the table, or there's a bed that's made, or there's fresh clothes to wear, and you understand if I just quit looking at myself and my circumstances, right, that I might have caused, there's someone who loves me. Well, I want to tell you the same way with God. You won't always get what you want in this life. You might want it because, you know what, let me tell you what everybody wants. Lots of money, free time galore to do whatever I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, and the toys I want to do it with. That's usually most people's life. I want an easy life. I want money to spread around. I want my time off. I want vacations. I want a good retirement. That's what I want for me. Is that true or not? Yes or no? It is. And when hard times come, what we do is like, Lord, but you promised those who delight in the Lord, listen, you're given the desires of our hearts. That's 100% delight, 100% desire. Just don't forget, his is a holy standard. Ours is a selfish standard many times. We measure by our own ruler, right? Y'all remember, I don't know if you remember, some of you are my age and older, when they tried to convert us from the inches and the yards to the metric system. And everybody's like, no, we all rebelled. And we're like trying to learn metric as well as standard. How many of you guys went through that chaos in America? And it played out. Yeah, I see the hands around. We went through that. When something's new, what do we typically do? Even in church, what do? We resist unless we're the change agent, unless we're the ones actually making the suggestion for the change. We think it's great because we can tell you all the benefits of it. But everybody else is like, I like it the old way. When I first got here, I took the order of worship out of the bulletin, leaving room for the Holy Spirit to move. In just case we cut a song, add something, we just took it out. You thought, some of you were here, the end of the world had happened. They used to go into musicals and go into step one, step two, step three. We have an order. We put an order together, but it's just for suggestion only. As the Holy Spirit moves, we'll move into another category. We'll sing another song or we'll pray another prayer as God leads us to do. So I want you to look at this and see true worship is God-centered and shaped by his word. You cannot have true worship today unless you actually have a copy and actually are a source to get to the word. This is the authoritative source for living. Not suggesting, not tearing out pages. Y'all know you've read some of our history. We've had presidents who would cut out the miracles of God and he would take out the different things and created his own Bible. You have to take it like it lies, right? Not a golf term, but you have to take it. This is God's holy word. And sometimes you have to say, does that apply to me? Well, God's word, listen, we know that the Bible says all scripture is God breathed. He moved holy men of old to write it. Everything that you have in your hand is 2,000-ish plus years old. This text is almost 3,000 years old that we're reading today. Let's continue. I want you to see this in your notes. King David, and I was told folks I was going to joke about saying King David wrote it, because your Psalms does not tell you King David wrote this psalm. It just says a psalm. Well, how do we know King David wrote it? Glad you ask. That's why it's important to read the Bible. Hebrews actually refers back to this psalm. You'll see in just a moment one of the references, and says David wrote, and he quotes David in this psalm. So we wouldn't know King David wrote this psalm any other source other than the book of Hebrews. Hebrews references back the king, and it references back this psalm. Let's continue. I want you to see this. King David provided enduring truths about worship as practiced by the people of Israel. And I put this in, truths that remain profoundly relevant for us today. Well, what's our takeaway? In light of this, how are we as Christians called to respond? And how are we called to respond? This truth, if you go through it, I won't look at the first Hebrews 12, I'll put that in for you, this unshakable truth. Read all of Hebrews 12, really, if you want to. It gives you a context of understanding. We're talking about worshiping King Jesus. I want you to see this as well. Number one, how do we respond? I gave you a top seven how to respond. There's 10, 12, 15 or more how to respond. But these are the top from the Word of God that I found there in Psalm 95. What is the first two words of your Bible? In Psalm 95, verse 1, what does it say in your Bible? Just come. Let's. Oh, come. Mine says, there's an invitation. It's like a Christmas or a birthday party invitation. There's an invitation that God is extending to the people of Israel, also AKA you and I. You'll see how we're extended. This invitation is to come and worship who? The Lord himself. He wants to be worshiped. Some people say, how can he be so arrogant and want all the worship just for himself? Have you ever heard someone say that? How dare God want all the worship? I'm important too. Listen, that's the pot calling the potter, right? Who does he think he is making me the way I'm made? All of worship, all of our glory, all of the honor should go to the maker, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of our beings. He gives us life. He gives us the opportunity of being saved today. Listen, all glory goes to him, the capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, God. So we get into that place. If you have a place in your heart and you're like, what does God want all the honor for? The answer is because he deserves it. Because he's worthy of it. Because he created the ability to worship. He created the ability to live. Take a deep breath. We've done this before. Compliments of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it says he created all things, you roll over to back to Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he lays out a pattern of understanding how he made all things, and he made us the chief of his creation. Made in his image, Genesis 1:26 and 27, he made male and female. What's our society done today? The devil snuck in and has put it in every place. In the government, he's put it in schools. He's put it even in churches, God forbid. He's put it in all places that actually, listen, no, we've gotten it wrong all these years. Where there's clarity, he's brought division. Where there's truth, he's brought untruth. This is our world that we live in today, but God never changes. You want to go back 1,000 years? Same God. You want to go back 2,000 years? Same God. You want to go back to 3,000 years? Same God. You want to go back to the beginning? Same God. You want to go back to everlasting? Same God. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and how long? Forevermore. Listen, we know that to be true, so that's why in our culture, we can speak the things of God. We can say what God's word says about God's word. God has a standard. We extract the moral standards from the Old Testament. Thou shalt not steal, still is the thou shalt not steal today, is it not? Unless it's $1,000, right? $999 in California, right? Thou shalt not steal except for this much. It's not what the Bible says. It says thou shalt not steal. And you got this whole world, our world, being flipped upside down because people want to make exceptions in their unbelief. In their unbelief. And I want you to see unbelief is the key thing that God hates. And I know the children are here, and Wendy's mother always says, you shouldn't say hate. That's such an ugly word. I said, well, the Bible says God hates sin, right? So if it's in the Bible, can we say it? We should say it in appropriate ways. All right. You should never say to one another, though, I hate you. Boys and girls, never speak to your brother, sister, or anyone that way, because God has words for that as well. He says, don't do it. Look at number one, if you would, look at your notes. Gather for worship. That's the come together. Come together as the encouraging people of God. Hebrews 10:25 even tells us, it echoes, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some have done so. What's happening when you stray from the church? Even if it's not your church home, we've told you time and time again, we want you to tell your friends, you don't have to come join Town Creek Baptist Church, but this is a safe place, a place of rest. You can come and worship God here. You don't have to join here. Listen, we'd love for you to join and be a member, because you got to be a member to be active, engaged, and serving in the capacity that we actually understand church membership to be a part of. There's accountability there for each of us. But this is a safe church to come and worship. This is a safe church just to come and rest. This is a safe church just to come recover and actually be the people of God and just join together and sing unto the Lord. You and God, listen, your words to him, your heart to him, saying, you're worthy. I love you. I want to read your word. I want to be a part of that. As best as our ability happens, and we have different speakers, we have different preachers sometimes, different musicians. We're going to sing unto the Lord. We're going to preach unto the Lord. We're going to preach his word, as it lies. We're going to say what his word says because God is worthy. And listen, he don't want to be misinterpreted. He don't want to be misunderstood. He speaks with clarity in Scripture. Don't you like when someone speaks with clarity? Amen. Unless they're giving you a job review and you know you've done wrong, right? Then you want that in the military. Was that 4.0, 5.0? You want to get that exact squared away number, and they say, you're not so good in this area. And what does that do to you and me? Have you guys ever had a review of your job, whether it be military or regular job? Raise your hand. When it's good, guess what you do? Raise is coming to town. There's a raise coming to town, right? And when it's bad, guess what you do? People don't know. They don't know me. I've given 20 years to this company. They don't know, right? And that shows exactly what's wrong with you. You think you're owed what you think you're owed. God speaks to us in that way and says, hey, you're good in this area. Listen, you're walking with me. But this area in your life, you're not good. He puts his finger on every area in life that you're not good with him. Young people, children, young adults, college adults, senior adults, he'll put his finger. If you'll set before the Lord, he'll put his finger on that. He'll cause chaos in your life until you get it right. I will not bless this, whatever this is. And you know what this is in your life. God puts his finger on it, says, fix it. If you don't fix it, we're not going forward. It's like that referee I told you in football. He blows the whistle. He puts his foot on out of bounds. When you step out of bounds, God's sitting there, you will fix it right here, right now. And you say, but God, I've moved on from that. God said, you'll fix it right here, right now. Or there's going to be another penalty because you're delaying. What's going to happen if you don't fix it right here, right now? He's going to move the ball back just a little bit, Lawrence. Now, you got a 5-yard penalty for delay of game. How many of you guys have delayed your life and you're stuck? You're in a family situation. Your family hates each other because of some crazy burnt bread back in Thanksgiving back in 2017 or something like that. You're just so mad because grandma left this to my sister, my brother, or whatever it might be in your life. You still carry that around because you're angry that you thought you deserved it. You're here today. Let us come together. Let us worship the Lord. And before you take your praises to the Lord, just like we have the Lord's Supper, what do we say? Stop. Examine yourself. That's what the Bible says. Take a look. Take an x-ray of your heart. Take an x-ray of your mind. How are you doing in life? Are you living like a godly man? Are you living like a godly woman? Are you living like a godly teenager? Are you living like a godly child? Are you doing the right things? Yes or no? On this Father's Day, listen, even greater. Man, we have to look at ourselves. We are the pastor of our homes. You're the shepherd of your house. You have a responsibility. The Bible says you're the spiritual leader of your home. As you go, so goes the family. Should have been a big amen right there. As you go, so goes the family. That's a hard thing to swallow in it. But God, I married this woman and Lord, you know these kids. And God says you're going to give an account for everything said and done in this life. And he puts it on top of us that we are the spiritual leaders of our home. If you're wrong with your kids, make it right. If you're wrong with your grandkids, make it right. If they won't talk to him anymore, make the attempt. God knows. God sees. God loves. He loves them like he loves you. God says, listen, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Listen, the invitation is, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. We're drawing near to God because he invites us to gather together. Something about being together is unique. I was counting last week. I think we had 6 different countries represented in our church last week. It was beautiful. Different languages. It's amazing to think about when we come together, what's the great equalizer for us? Rich, poor, homeless, big house, big car, small car, old car, junk car, no car. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. We come together as one under the banner of Christ. No matter what we have socioeconomic status might be, no matter where we are in life, Jesus makes us one and we're to be united under Christ. Number 2, if you look at your notes, sing to the Lord joyfully. Let your heart overflow with delight in him through heartfelt song. When the Holy Spirit fills our lives, joyful expression becomes a natural response. Yes, it's a supernatural response because it's him, he in us, but it's a natural response as well. You can't help but sing. You can't help but praise. God desires us to experience such deep joy and excitement in him that it cannot be contained. That's Galatians 5 is the fruit of the Spirit. If you go back and look there, listen, what is the fruit of the Spirit? It starts out as love, joy, peace. And as you walk through life, that's what God wants you to carry with you because it's you can't do it by yourself because people will cut you off in traffic. The boss will make you mad. The employees will make you mad. The family will make you mad or hurt you somehow. The church will make you mad or hurt you somehow. You can't do it by yourself, but it's Christ in you and through you that you walk it out. That's how you can actually live. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death, listen, the shepherd's with you in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's Christ in me, through me. That's how I live this life. I can't do it by myself. Well, Ephesians 5 tells us how to walk that out as well. Ephesians 5, 18 to 19. Number three, I want you to see this. Enter God's presence with thanksgiving. Approach Him boldly with hearts full of gratitude and adoration. I'm thankful, Lord, that I'm saved today. How many of us sang to Him when we sang the song when we were leading the Psalms this morning when Chris was leading and the team was leading? So many times after church, I hear, Pastor, I don't like that drum. I don't like that guitar. Piano's a little bit loud. We should sing more praise music. We should sing more hymns. Pastor, we should do this and that. And listen, can I just say this as my brother and sister, with all my love and all my heart, we didn't design the service for you. I didn't ask Chris to sing certain songs. I didn't go through and handpick the scriptures. All I did said, Lord, what do you want us to do? And what do you want us to learn? What do you want me to learn first and foremost? Where do we go, Lord, from here? And when the Lord reveals that, we come through and we say, listen, our worship is vertical. It's got to be God-centered, God-centric, if you will, when we praise and talk to God. We talked about this morning in Calais. If I talk about my wife all the time and never talk to my wife, how long do you think I'm going to stay married? Not very long. My relationship is going to be torn and, hey, don't you have a word or time for me? I don't have time. I got to go tell everybody about you. How terrible would that be? But that's how we live the Christian life if we're not careful. We actually come in and say, these are the standards by which I will actually live the Christian life. And if they don't meet my standards, what's going to happen? I won't play. And so many people are out of church today. Listen, there's a church on almost every corner and they're not full. Why? One, because Christians aren't living the Christian life, if they're Christian at all. That would be my question. Are you truly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? You've got to walk it out. Paul said, walk worthy of the calling that you've been called. The worthy calling is, I'm going to walk it and I'm going to talk it. I'm going to ask my neighbors. I'm going to talk to those that I don't know about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to help others in Jesus' name. And it can be just a trivial, random act of kindness that you're going to do. But God calls us to live out a holy life before Him, not just in here, not just in the building. Look and see. We're to enter His presence with thanksgiving. I won't ask you to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you just said, I'm not going to sing any of this music because I don't like it or know it? I was trying to catch up because I didn't know that one of the songs. I was trying to catch up and see what's the tune. Not that I can keep the tune, Chris, but I was trying to figure out how does that thing come up. And I didn't think the guys on the slides were going fast enough for me to catch the words for the next thing. So, no, I'm just kidding, guys. I was trying to learn everything. It's automated. I'm thankful that we have an opportunity to open God's word, to sing to God, to pray to and with God. Prayer is a two-way conversation, though, so you know. We ask God, we talk to dogs, we talk with God. Because God's speaking. What has God said to you so far today? Look at His word. He's invited you to come and worship. He's invited you to come and sing. He's invited you to come shout joyfully to Him because He's worthy. He's invited you. If you keep going, you'll see there's other invitations. Verse 4 and number 4 in your notes. Shout joyfully to God with psalms and songs. Proclaim His goodness with exuberant. I had a teacher that used that word. I had to put it in. Exuberant passion and praise. She always told me I was very exuberant today. I didn't know what that meant until I looked it up, and that wasn't a compliment because I was pretty hyperactive. Exuberant praise. And listen, proclamation that God is who He is. John 4:24 says, how should we worship God? We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What is truth? We have to take His word. We have to read His word. He is the truth. We know that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Listen, He's the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Listen, the very breath we have is from God. The very word that we have is from God. The very attitude, listen, that we have should be from God. The problem is you are at war, Paul tells us. The flesh is at war with the spirit. I want to go do this. I love talking to people about God's will. Is it God's will that we all are saved? Scripture says God would will that we all are saved. Then somebody says, no, no, no. It's God's will that some are saved. Well, Jesus said he died for whom? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have what? Everlasting life. He died for all. Sometimes I think we should, I always like to think of opposites in the Bible. The Bible says, don't do this. I thought about what doing this would equate to. You ever heard about God's will? Yes or no? Somebody give me a God's will. What is a God's will, part of God's will? Bring him glory. Loving specifically with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, all right? What's his will? Love your neighbor as you love yourself, because some of us don't love ourselves. We got, I'm just nobody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody. Mercy Me song drives me nuts. They throw that in the trash, set it on the fire 10 times a Sunday. You are a somebody in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're his creation, made in his image, and then he turns back around and saves your sorry soul and redeems you back, and then says, listen, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. And you have that name if you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. You have God living inside of you. I know that feels weird and kind of creepy sometimes when you say it out like that, but the Holy Spirit lives in me and through me. And so when I walk, if I have God's will in my life, I think there's some God's wants as well. You ever heard that? How many of you guys deal with blood sugar issues? I do. I'm at the beach. First place I stop on the way into the beach is because I don't love the beach. Y'all know that. But there's a place called King's, I don't even know the name. What is it? King's Market and Farm or something on the way in, about 8 miles out on the right. Key lime pie to die for. It's bigger than my head, and it's incredible. I don't care what we're doing at the beach. I don't care if it's raining. We're going to stop at the market on the right. Now, I don't get a commission from them, but I'm telling you, I would sell their pies. I'd be an awesome pie salesman for them. And I intend to eat that entire pie within 2 days. Now, I have a daughter-in-law who loves it, so we compete a little bit. But I have to tell you, the second pie is in my fridge halfway gone, and we've only been gone a couple of days. Love their pies because that's something I look forward to. That's something I actually do enjoy. And the other thing is when the restaurant has all-you-can-eat oysters, right? And it wasn't this time. I would say, womp, womp, womp. There's things I look forward to, even the things I don't like to do, right? The joy is not always there. I love seeing the family. Love being with family. But as we enter together, Chris brings his guitar. There's some music that's being sung. There's games played. I don't like playing the board games as much. But I love cooking. I love doing all the things we do as a family unit. So I think about this when the Lord's talking about us to enter into his presence with thanksgiving, to have an exuberant passion, and have that praise to God. Listen, don't care who's looking. Don't care who's listening. Because I'm not singing to you. I'm singing who? To the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 5, you look at your notes. Praise him for his excellence. Honor him. I like this word. I put it in there as our cosmic king, creator, and Lord. I don't know if you saw this week. I was looking at the satellite when I could get Wi-Fi, and they found a new black hole. Oh, no. We're going to get sucked in, right? Guys, do you understand who's in charge if it is a black hole? Who's in charge of the black holes? Who's in charge of the constellations? Who's in charge of the universes beyond the universes? We don't know this stuff now because we have a spaceship out there and a camera out there taking pictures. You and I knew that because God said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He flung this into being. And listen, he knows every star's name. So the Bible says, do you know any of the stars' names? Today there's an app. You can go in and find the star out there and you can press it. And if that star is not named, they will name it for you for a small fee. And there's millions of people naming stars after themselves. There's a word for that. Let's continue. It's like the commercial to adopt a pretend elephant in Africa. There's a commercial that says you can actually send $19 and symbolically adopt an elephant. And they'll send you a stuffed elephant. But you got to keep paying. There's another word for that. Let's continue. This is where we've come in life. This is the 21st century that we were all looking forward to. Number six, bow before him. Humbly surrender to God, acknowledging Jesus as shepherd, master, Lord, and Savior. Exclaim that he is our God and we are his people, fully devoted to his will and to his reign. Now, this can bypass you, so I'm going to ask you to do something. Some of you can, some of you can't. Some of you will, some of you won't. I want you to take your notes if you have a bulletin, and I'll take my notes here, and I want you to just read that from our knees, all right? I want you to just move out into the aisles, and I want you to experience this, if you can or if you will. Just take your knee. I want you to see the perspective for when he says, let's kneel before the king. Something about this changes the perspective of what you're doing. If you can't, that's fine. When the scripture says, bow before him, somebody will immediately say, don't be legalistic and don't say that we have to do that. It is a position of your heart, but I don't want to tell you, this looks about silly before all of us, does it not? Look around. Some of you are laughing at each other like, what are we doing? Listen, bowing our knees is a picture of bowing our hearts before the Lord. So when you pray, listen, when you get into this position, guess which way your head naturally goes? Watch your head. If you, gravity is going to take place. And if you lift your hands out when you talk to the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, when you bow and you kneel before him, something changes even in my heart. I feel, you might feel embarrassed today. You might feel weird. Or you might say, this is how I pray all the time. We may get up. Listen, I want you to see that. When we bow physically, that's something from the outward appearance that, listen, oh, he's holy, she's more holy. That's not what the Bible's saying. We do understand it's the posture of the heart, not the posture of the body, because sometimes the body won't get down there, right? Because I'm learning the older I get and the more weight I gain, the further the floor gets away from me, right? And when I get down there, it's harder to get back up. I think I just stayed in and cleaned the carpet or something while I'm down. I do understand that, but that bowing of our physical body, kneeling, has something to do with reverence before God. If you can, let me encourage you, do it. Get to the couch, put a pillow underneath, whatever it takes to bow before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We used to take our coffee table and we would have family devotions, and I would encourage you as a mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, we used to actually sit around the family devotion, then we'd all take a knee and we would pray around that table. And you guys, if you haven't done it, I would encourage you to do it. Your children will remember doing that, right? My wife, she just got rid of that coffee table when I came in. There was a new coffee table. And I'm like, where's the old one? She goes, I told Kenzie and Chris to get rid of it. I was like, are you kidding me? Do you know what that table meant to me? And what I realized was it's not worth staying married over a coffee table. But there was a lot of memories in that table for me. Like, you're not supposed to put your foot up on the table. Do y'all know that? How many of y'all know feet on the coffee tables? How many of y'all put feet on the coffee table? Come on. I always did it when Wendy went looking. I'd take my socks off and rub all over like this. So if you drink coffee at my house, use the saucer. All right. I'm just kidding. We've always argued over the coffee table, and the coffee table is gone now. Somebody got it from Goodwill. So if you got my coffee table, bring it back to me, and I'll put it in my office here. And I realized it wasn't the coffee table. What was it? It was the memories of worshiping God together. You say, well, how much can you worship with your kids? I'll tell you, it's a lot. That memories are made around the dinner table and oftentimes the coffee table when you kneel together. Bow before him humbly, surrender to God. And finally, number seven, listen and respond with an obedient, contrite heart, a broken heart before God. Exhort one another in Christ. Be receptive to the Holy Spirit. He will oftentimes tell you to do things that you're not comfortable doing. Excuse me. He'll often tell you to say things you're not comfortable saying. God will move you in a way that you're like, Lord, how? I don't have the ability. I don't have the education. I don't have the resources. God says, I didn't ask you any of that. Just do it. So when you humble yourself and you come into his presence, say, Lord, I will be obedient, but I'm scared to death. Then you're usable, just so you know. If you can do what he's called you to do, it's probably not from him. It's probably not his voice. He calls you to the impossible. And when he calls you to the impossible and you step forward in Jesus' name with him leading, listen, when he's in the lead, all things go right. Because we've said at this church before, when you do it God's way, you will always get God's result. That's why we preach the Word of God as best we know how. That's why we trust the Word of God. That's why we can come to this place and say, listen, let us come together. Listen, be together every chance you get. Not just with our church, but listen, the churches, we don't have Sunday night services and Wednesday night services in the fall and the summer because we're giving everyone a break. But guess what we give you a break for? Go to our brother and sister churches. Go to the small country churches. Go to a different denomination and go worship together with the family of God. It's much, much bigger than 250 Town Creek Road. But we are part of that family. Finally, look at the bottom part, if you would, in your notes. Biblical worship is not confined to a moment or a place. It flows from a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ and is marked by a lifestyle of grace, a lifestyle of faith, a lifestyle of obedience to our eternal God who is worthy of all praise. Is he not? Can we just give him a hand clap of praise this morning and tell God how awesome he is because he's worthy. He's worthy and he's worthy of praise. Can you feel in your heart? Listen, when we kneel our hearts, when we kneel our hearts before God, when we kneel our knees before God, when we even lay flat out, because oftentimes you read Moses, he hit the deck, as we called it in the Navy, face down. He wasn't even able or willing to stand before God or to kneel before God. He found himself completely stretched out, saying, Lord, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. When we start getting a right vision of who God is, you'll start getting a right vision of worship. Amen? Because he's worthy, church. Listen, he's worthy. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, maybe you were baptized, maybe you said some words, maybe you even joined a church, maybe you even joined this church, but you've never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, don't let that stuff get in the way. Don't let man's stuff get in the way. Make sure that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. That if you died right here, right now, you'd go be with the Lord. The Bible says you can have that blessed assurance. You can know that Jesus Christ is yours, that and you are his. It's a beautiful thing to think about. It's an awesome assurance to know. And that's why we can preach like we preach. That's why we believe like we believe. That's why we speak like we speak. Do we sin and make mistakes? Oh, yes. Hang around me long enough, you'll figure that out. Listen, that's the beauty of having a relationship with God. He forgives me day by day. I forgive you. But how does he want me to live? How does he want me to walk? Worthy of the calling that he called me to. He wants me to live like he says to live. Husbands, dads, moms, wives, aunts, uncles, children, there's instruction for all of us in the scripture how we should live. Did you know that? Every one of us has an instruction on how we should live in the scripture. Can I challenge you to walk worthy today as we talk about this worship and the rock song of worship? He is our rock. He's our sword. He's our shield, right? We used to sing that at camp. He's the hub in the middle of the wheel. We used to sing. He's the lily of the valley. Did you ever do that? He's the bright morning star, right? We talk about all these different things that Jesus is to us. If we truly believe it and we walk it out, guess what's going to happen in our lives? People that's going to start asking you, hey, what's wrong with you? Or they'll start calling you holy roller or preacher so-and-so or here she comes or here he comes. And they're going to have nicknames for you, but guess what they're doing in the nickname? To everyone else, they're trying to kind of catch up on you and do a shaming on you. But deep down, guess what they're doing? I want to be just like her. I want to be like him. She has a secret. He has a secret. And I desire to be like them. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, friends, the only way to be like Jesus and be that person that God wants you to be is to surrender your life to him fully and say, God, I surrender everything to you. And when you surrender your life, he says, listen, thank you very much. I'm going to give you myself now. And you walk through life with Christ in you. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. Let me challenge you today. This is your invitation. We're going to sing. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. We invite you to come and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. I don't care how old you are. If you've never given your life to Christ, listen, the oldest man I baptized in this church was 87 years old so far. A couple 83-year-olds, and then it keeps going down from there. But God is faithful. But you've got to take that step of receiving that free gift of salvation. Let's pray together. Father God, we obviously know what your word says. We know that you love us. Your word even says that you are love. You extend that love to us, and you've even given us ability to love you back if we would just simply believe. We read in this psalm that children of Israel, they didn't believe. They were arguing over water. Back in Exodus 17, they fought over, did God leave us and bring us out here to die? God's not with us. Their unbelief caused them great sin, and their sin caused death. And even later, Lord, in Numbers 20, whenever they argue again, and Moses loses his temper, and he strikes the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Lord, in his unbelief, he took your glory. He got penalized with not going into the promised land. Lord, today we're thankful that we don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that when we give you our heart and life, Lord, you give us all of you. We receive the Holy Spirit when we ask you to come into our heart and lives, when we ask you to forgive us of our sins, when we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and we believe that, God, you raised him from the dead. Lord, when we confess it with our mouth, you say you have entered into, you've come into our lives, prepared a dwelling place for yourself. Lord, today would you extend that as we preach and as we have opportunity to sing, would you extend that unction of the Holy Spirit to move someone to receive that free gift of salvation? Lord, would you let today be the day of salvation for a new believer? For those of us that are believers, Lord, would you convict us that we need to live worthy of the calling that you've called us to live? Let us go forth right out in Jesus' name, telling the world about you. We love you and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.